And now, from the Fortress of Solitude, deep beneath the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, sci-fi4me.com presents The Rogues Gallery.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this, our 54th episode of The Rogues Gallery. I'm Jeff Hackworth, reporting from Fort Worth, Texas. In studio, we have Jason Hunt.
Hello.
We have Jennifer Wise.
Hi.
We have Will Tramp.
Hello.
And in our Fortress of Solitude in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we have Ann Labs.
That's me.
And for those of you who don't recognize Will's name, he's brand new.
Hi. Yay. Yes.
Fresh meat.
Literally was born yesterday.
Yeah, and he's he joined us out at Planet Comic Con for a little bit. We're going to post video, but Will is going to be helping with some of our Twitch content.
We're going to be doing Dungeons and Dragons, guys.
I'm going to kill these people with dice and kindness and dragons.
And dice.
Awesome.
You had to think about that for a second, Erdra.
Actually awesome.
I was thinking about
he had to
better,
roll the dice to see if it was awesome or
dragon. Yeah, he rolled the
and
awesome
dice.
Check.
Yes, it was the four-sided, pyramid dice.
He had
the ones that
bonuses.
Are like can rival Legos for worst thing to step on in the middle of the night.
No,
yeah,
it was terrible.
Like caltrops.
I do have to say before we get into it, I was gonna make a joke, but. Today we got some news that has kind of hit the local Kansas City comics community pretty hard. Jim Cavanaugh, who was the owner of Clint's Comics, was killed today trying to stop a robbery at the store. Apparently, from the reports that we're seeing in the newspapers and online, somebody came in and stole about 15, 20 different comics, went out the back, and Jim went after him with his gun. And the guy got into his car and apparently backed into Jim. And Jim hit his head on the concrete. And I guess bled out. It suffered a series of heart attacks as a result of the injury. Reports are from eyewitnesses that it took 17 minutes for the ambulance to arrive.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that part.
And in the meantime, the search continues for the perpetrator, the one who did it. He was driving a white hatchback, and we've been, the images have been shared online various different places. But it's been a blow because Clint's is just about to celebrate their 50th anniversary. The family, the brother-in-law, I think, is running the store right now, but they're going to be closed for about a week to try to figure things out. But this was a shock. It was one of those that hit everybody. And us in particular, too, because...
with Free Comic Book Day and Planet Comic Con, we just saw him.
Yeah, and for a while, we were shooting Comic Con Carney in the store there. And my ex-wife was running a Gift of the Day program for a retirement community here, a hospice care. And he was very generous in helping with that as well. So, it's all of us. I mean, my kid... He's 15. He's taking it pretty hard. And everybody that knew Jim, this has been a real big shock. So we just wanted to mention, our thoughts and prayers and condolences with the family. And as we learn more, we'll certainly share that. But that's been our day, such as it is. But Jim was one of those who talked comics all the time, and so this kind of feels like we do this one for Jim. So, all right, I've not gotten caught up on Gotham. So Anne and Jeff are Gotham people.
They're pro Gotham people.
They're pro Gotham people, and I must say that those of you who caught our live version. Our episode 53 that we did out at Planet Comic Con, you know now that we have hatched a secret plan to weaponize Thomas Townley.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's happening, and we all signed on for this.
Yes, because every single show. Now, Thomas has been writing recaps for us for a while. He's been with us now, I guess, maybe a year. And he's since recapped Braindead, Son of Zorn, and Powerless. Mm-hmm. And all three shows have been canceled. So we're sitting there thinking, we could unleash him. We will release the hounds.
I'm going to and we will sick him on Gotham.
Sick him on Gotham. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm just going to have to live tweet it then to counteract that, huh?
Oh, you think that's going to help?
I do too. I do indeed.
We're going to go into civil war here.
All right. That's the
challenge
other podcast.
Accepted.
Fine.
All right. So Gotham has been back for a couple of weeks. So where are we in the?
Does it still stink?
Looney Tunes.
Well, basically, from what I understand, it's still this court of owls, and I hesitate to call it silliness, but I mean, it's a lady in a fox stole serving tea, and ordering people around. I don't know what her name is, but she's not very threatening to me. And this week, Riddler attempted to find out about the Court of Owls, had a very Rube Goldberg-esque plot to do that, and then ended up getting kidnapped by him. So, you know, hey.
Like by Rube Goldberg?
Yeah, an actual octopus Goldberg. Squeezed in orange juice.
Oh, wow.
Out of an orange.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff is having some
technical
difficulties.
Jeff has the gremlins.
He's the host, and he dives out and then has to come back. I mean, what kind of a cut rate operation is this?
Jeff has been taking notes from Riddler Goldberg. Mm.
Yes.
Riddler Goldberg.
That's a good name for him.
You know, I think
I
should start.
Question, Jeff.
I think I should start publishing the notes I make during podcasts.
Well, I think we're going to start. We should start tweeting them or post them on Instagram.
I think I had the name for my next band.
Riddler Goldberg.
Yeah. Riddler Goldberg.
Yeah. Ooh.
Fusion jazz, obviously.
What else happened, Anne?
One thing I didn't understand, though, according to this episode, the Court of Owls has judged Gotham, and it's going to destroy Gotham, which is kind of stupid since they're secretly running the city, aren't they? Jeff, or am I not getting their fiendish plot? I don't get it. You know? Explain that to me. They're saying that Gotham has to be destroyed, but
well, okay, the
running the city.
The Court of Owls storyline was introduced in that Chewbacca was mine. Hold on, what's going on here?
We're clearly very prepared for this podcast, guys.
That's actually Jeff.
Oh my god.
Saying that he's lost it. So he doesn't
oh, I thought I've been wondering why he was sitting so still.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can see him and he's moving okay, but apparently he's not
we cannot
able
hear him.
To hear or see. So
I'm going to put some words in Jeff's mouth. Jeff is meaning to say, of course the Court of Owls is still running Gotham because of course. But what you do when you run Gotham is you run it into the ground, and then you salt that ground.
The Court of Owls storyline was introduced in the New 52. Mm-hmm. It's one of Scott Snyder's contributions to the Batman mythology. And the basic thrust of it, as I understand it, because I didn't read the New 52 because it was crap.
It was crap.
Although, I gotta say... give allowances for the horror stuff and Snyder's run on the Batman titles because Batman was one of the few things that didn't get changed all that much in New 52. They just kind of let Snyder go with it. And okay, you do your thing. You do you. And he introduced the Court of Owls. The Court of Owls apparently is this secret cabal of rich
old people.
Well, not necessarily old people, but the connected people. It's almost like an organized crime type of thing, but it's
like bad Illuminati.
It's like the aristocracy, the secret aristocracy of Gotham City. You know, that shadow government type of organization that's running things.
The parents
behind,
of celebutants.
Yeah, you know, behind the scenes. Machinations and, you know, you do this and I do this and the deal making and the whatnot. And the goal, Anne, as I understand it, is to, you know, once everything has gotten to a point. It's almost like in Arrow.
I was going to say it's very reminiscent of the first season of Arrow.
Yeah, first season where they were just going to say, okay, we'll just burn the Glades to the ground so we can rebuild something that's newer and brighter and cleaner and snazzier. And Court of Owls, I think, is along those same lines where it's, let's get Gotham City so far gone and destroy it so that we can rebuild it in a way that we think is a little bit more perfect. And I think that's one of the things that that we're dealing with this plot line in the show.
But I feel like it's not being done as well in the show as it was presented in the comics. And I don't
Gotham.
Feel like...
It's Gotham. They're not doing anything.
I don't feel like anybody could argue for me.
I feel like what you're saying is that a Batman-centric storyline, for some reason in a show without Batman, isn't doing so well.
It's
much.
Shockingly
weird.
Weak, right?
That is pretty much.
It's odd.
Who'd have known?
And I think you're outnumbered on it.
Well, I would like to say, though, after I didn't watch Arrow, but of the three shows I watched this week, I gotta say Gotham did a better job of integrating its B characters into the A story than anything I saw on Supergirl or The Flash, to be honest, in my opinion.
Supergirl was a mess.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't, yes, it's cartoonish and fantastical, but you know, you mentioned the horror elements, but that's one of the things I love about it, so...
Well, and as much as I hate to admit, since Gotham has actually embraced the crazy, like we've said before, it's settled down into a fairly solid show.
But you have to
take it for what it is, and you have to completely toss out any expectations that you have for this show, because
just think of it as an Elseworlds story, and
we can't make
everything that stinks an Elseworlds
story. well, Batman versus Superman was Elseworlds. What are you talking about?
Don't you rain on my parade, Jason Hunt?
I generally look at all TV shows.
No,
and
wait! You didn't like that movie, did you?
I liked one specific part of that movie.
Batman versus Superman.
Well, pieces of that movie, yeah.
I liked Gal Gadot,
but that movie was...
I know. I watched it for
garbage.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I actually really liked that movie.
Wow.
Now you're just trolling. You are a level 10 troll right there.
No, really, I do. I like it for in the sense that Marvel is hand over fist doing better in the movies than DC has been doing. But DC is taking a shot to try to do something at least different, if nothing else.
Well, the problem with that is they don't understand their intellectual property.
Mm.
They don't.
No, not at all.
They
no.
don't. They don't know what they've got.
No, they're too far removed from it.
I'm wondering now if the new blood that may be coming into Warner Brothers, because the word is.
Oh yeah, that are
very exciting.
Kevin Tsujihara might be on his way out, mm-hmm. because Warner Brothers is the number two studio, box office wise, performance wise, is the number two studio in Los Angeles, and Disney, of course, is number one. Warner Brothers being at number two is coming in at less than one third the amount of what Disney made.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very, very distant second.
Yeah, yeah.
And with this AT&T purchase looming large on the horizon, if that goes through and AT&T buys Time Warner, then suddenly profits matter.
Suddenly?
Well, and I think, you know, for all that Kevin Tsujihara did to actually jumpstart the DC film universe, because at that point there wasn't one.
Yeah.
And when he came on board, then suddenly there was this whole slate of DC movies. But we also know that when that slate got put together at Warner Brothers didn't have a plan B in case anything went wrong.
Yeah.
And everything went wrong. And so although the bright spot is that right now Wonder Woman is tracking to have a pretty decent opening weekend,
pretty good opening.
On the same level as Captain America and Thor.
with mm-hmm. way less of the apparent marketing from what I'm seeing. So
yeah, well, though there was an article in Variety that that touched on that. You know, everybody's complaining that Wonder Woman hasn't gotten all of the advertising, the marketing, and stuff. Mm-hmm. When the statistics show that there's been more money spent on advertising for Wonder Woman than there was on Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Suicide Squad was also kind of left to the dogs.
A little bit, but I think there was a different reason for that. I think Suicide Squad got left to the dogs because they had the movie, and then they had to change the movie. And no matter what anybody says, they had to go back and they had to shoot the funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
More funny stuff, because the funny stuff was in the trailer. Oh, this is going to be a fun comedy action play. I don't know. Oh, we need more funny stuff then.
I'll be honest, without that unicorn in there, I wouldn't have enjoyed that movie. So thank you for whoever made that decision.
For the unicorn.
Yeah, well, and I think boomerangs. I think the other part of that is, you know, Wonder Woman's a little bit more of a known quantity
mm-hmm.
as far as, you know, the recognizability of the character. She's been around 75 years, and Suicide Squad has not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Wonder Woman. She's been on lunchboxes and underwear, and she's had a TV show.
I'm actually wearing my Wonder Woman underwear.
As am I.
Thank you for sharing.
You're not wearing my Wonder Woman underwear.
No, I know. I have my own.
I was kind of wondering if they were doing the... I mean, at this point, Wonder Woman's got so much word of mouth, and it seemed like the reboot of Ghostbusters picked up so much more steam when Sony... you know, started acting like they were under attack from, you know, the Meninists or whatever.
Right.
So I kind of wonder how much Warner Brothers is sort of holding right now, knowing that social media word of mouth is going to at least carry a lot of this.
I think that could be a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that, not to get too much into politics, but... we've already seen reaction to some of the tie-in marketing
mm-hmm.
with the Think Thin bars and, you know, the Mary Sue blowing a gasket over that.
The Mary Sue blows a gasket over a lot of things.
I know. Mary Sue likes to complain, and they, you know, and you could make a very distinct anti-feminist comment about the Mary Sue right at that point having a tendency to blow up at every little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of... No, I'm not going to say it. But
it reminds you of what?
No, that's the line that we... Hey, Jeff's back!
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Technical problems there. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Because,
that's an entirely different podcast.
Because my kid listens to this show.
It might be.
No, I make the joke. I kid. But... you know, you've got the Think Thin bars, and now we've got what's the one that just
Cold Stone has their new creation. That's the Wonder Woman themed creation, and it's like dark chocolate and berries. And the thing that caught my eye was that they're going to have the gold sparkle
mm-hmm.
Topping on it. They also are doing a Wonder Woman cupcake.
Oh.
Yeah, see, and so, then apparently a Wonder Woman themed flavor, which is the dark chocolate.
Yeah, so Mary Sue's going to, of course, have a problem with all of that.
Right, so they're not okay with the diet bars, but they're also not going to be okay with the dark chocolate and
right.
fruit.
Right, yeah. because ice cream, you know, we're talking to women,
mm-hmm.
you know, ice cream is what you eat when you've just broken up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
like when you have a bad day or when you stub your toe, or I'm going to be honest, I cry right. and eat ice cream like all the time.
Now, I actually eat a pint of ice cream just because.
The thing about it is, though, they've already done this because the David E. Kelly pilot for Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. the one that was so abysmally horrible,
mm-hmm.
actually had that scene where she's eating ice cream on the couch because Steve Trevor isn't her boyfriend anymore.
Oh, no.
I kid you not.
Wow.
And that's one of the reasons
why. Well, that's just harsh of Cold Stone, though. I mean, Mary Sue is right. I stand with Mary Sue.
They like to think so.
Okay. Oh, that's on the record. I know.
Walmart's marketing for Wonder Woman, though.
What has your Walmart been doing, Jeff? Because I'm not seeing anything at my Walmart.
I went to Walmart the other day. And they had a whole end cap and the sides like they would for Batman versus Superman or, like, you know, some of the other big blockbusters. But it was all Wonder Woman stuff.
Well,
all Wonder Woman stuff.
And I think...
And merchandise and toys and shirts and everything.
Warner Brothers has been doing a little bit of marketing. Well, see, the thing about it is, though, too, you've got Justice League coming right after that. And so you've got those two films in the same year, and the marketing dollars have to go to both of them. But it could very well be that they're looking at Justice League and Wonder Woman as cross-promoting each other, and maybe we don't have to spend as much, maybe we don't have to make as much effort on each one because we're doing both and they both serve each other.
Well, it's so you also mentioned before that Warner Brothers is now having to worry about their profit margins, right? And so I almost wonder if in an odd way this might be both a calculated move to save a couple of bucks because the word of mouth is so strong. But also I remember when Batman Superman was coming out, and I remember pretty much every superhero movie that and seeing the buzz about it, one of the biggest complaints we see is how much is given away in these, mm-hmm. right? Like
yeah.
in these trailers and yeah. these. And it's what's kind of neat, I guess, about if we could say a good thing about the lack of marketing right now for Wonder Woman is that I don't know what that movie's about. I know it's about Wonder Woman, and I know that eventually she's going to be stared at longingly by Ben Affleck, but I don't know what's going to happen in this film. And I'm actually kind of excited to see it as a result of that. You know,
well, so you're talking about Justice League.
No, I'm talking about Wonder Woman. Like,
okay. That's
like,
Chris.
Because Ben Affleck is not in Wonder Woman.
That's Chris.
No, I know. But yeah. I was.
Oh, in a general sense.
Well, sure. In the timeline wise.
Sure.
Well, what I do like
it
about
in Batman
it.
Batman Superman, that really great movie that nobody else wants to talk about
yeah,
right
sure.
now.
What I do like about it is that even though they've put out.
Do what, Ann?
I'm glad to have another Batman v. Superman fan.
Listen, thank I think you. There's a time and a place for Batman v. Superman, but I also didn't mind the Brandon Routh Superman, so I've been in the minority here
I
for a long
either,
time.
I didn't either, actually. I really enjoyed Brandon Routh.
Let's eat ice cream and watch it together.
The only thing that I didn't like about that movie was the kid.
Oh, I hated the kid, too, but I thought Brandon Routh was a perfect
Superman.
Yeah,
he was great. He was great. And but the idea that Superman... Mm-hmm. You know, Midwest values family Superman
left
would
a
have
single
a
mother.
Kid out of wedlock and leave him. Of course, not that he knew that the kid existed, but all of that it just rubbed me the wrong way. That's not.
He is really not going to enjoy Captain America 4, Captain America's entire block of children that he left behind from World War II. He's not going to enjoy that at all.
Hail Hydra.
So the one thing about the Wonder Woman, one of the newest trailers that I saw was she hints at her origin, with Zeus
as a daughter of Zeus.
Yeah. No, that's not what she says though. She says she was brought to life by Zeus.
That is not the same, you guys.
Oh,
neither in her mythology nor in actual Greek mythology.
Well, okay.
So it's a mixture of origin stories.
Yeah, to Will's point, this is an origin story movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you have to tell that story before you can tell anything else. The big question that we have with the mention of Zeus, the big question now is, are we going with her made out of clay, breathed life from Zeus origin? Or are we going to go with the new 52? She's the illegitimate daughter of Zeus.
If she's a demigod, then I'm quitting DC forever, and I'll start jumping into level 117 more often.
Well, see, because Rebirth has retconned all of her origins.
Yeah.
And she's basically been going on this search now to find out the truth about her origins because that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. We don't know where she came from. Oh, look at that. So
spoiler
now,
alert, she's a Seafoam.
She's Aphrodite.
Well, she's a Kryptonian. Remember, she's descended from the people that were in that.
Yeah.
Actually, she was involved in a radioactive explosion and her parents died in an alleyway. It's actually a combination of multiple. It's pretty terrifying.
Sad. Was she bit by a spider at any point?
And she also used to wear a lot of dark makeup and was really angsty.
Oh.
And the spider was exposed to gamma radiation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we've covered all bases with Wonder Woman now.
I think so.
Great job, Wonder Woman.
Yeah. So I think that. The other thing, too, given the fact that Wonder Woman is a female...
What?
No way.
I know, right? It's the craziest thing.
Spoilers.
Guys. Wonder Woman's a girl. And I think that some of the people in charge of the marketing are gun-shy because exactly what happened with Mary Sue reacting to Think Thin. No matter what they do, somebody's not going to be happy about it.
Right.
But they're going to make money and they'll be happy.
Yeah.
They'll make money, but at the same time, you're going to have websites like Mary Sue just completely blown up every single thing.
I am so excited for this movie.
But it's all of it. I mean, Wonder Woman could be on Wheaties boxes, and somebody would, and they'd complain about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a matter of fact, there are DC characters on all of the. I think it's General Mills.
Yeah, they have their own DC cereals, and
Batman cereal is terrible.
It's just awful. I buy it for my daughter, and I regret
that. But they also have, you know, like Sugar Smacks and Trix and all of those. Mm-hmm. They're in DC Comics costumes.
Yeah,
Chocolate so, Frost you know, and Sugar Bombs.
What's his name? The Diggum. No, Diggum's the frog. Who's the bear? Sugar Bear from
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't buy that one, I guess.
He's in a Green Lantern and I think Trix is in Superman and all that. There is no Wonder Woman character on any of those boxes.
Those are all male characters.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it would be an entirely different slew of problems if they put a male in a Wonder Woman outfit.
I'm just saying.
No, we don't follow the Trix agenda. Oh,
but
dang.
It's exactly that kind of thing. No matter what decision they make, mm-hmm. it's going to be wrong.
Yeah.
So maybe some of this perceived lack of marketing about Wonder Woman is not really so much, well, we're not spending anything. So we just don't know how to do it without getting slammed.
Yeah.
Because somebody is going
to They should have held this and waited to see how Squirrel Girl handles it.
Are they doing that?
They better be doing that.
They are. TV series on Freeform. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
See, what is it? New Warriors. The New Warriors.
Every D&D character Peter's ever played. You'll meet him at the Twitch.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and we're going to double check and make sure that Jeff's connection is connected. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions of the DC Comics filmed media universe, and that's going to include Flash and Supergirl and some trading cards.
Yay!
What?
When Rogues Gallery continues right after this.
If you unsubscribe to our podcasts, our legion is doomed.
If you're like a lot of fans, you enjoy reading the books, watching the movies, and TV shows, but you also like to go inside the process, which is why we go one-on-one with filmmakers, writers, artists, authors, musicians, and actors about their work. Movies, books, television, video games, comics, and more. It's a half-hour chat where we ask the questions you want answered. Not your typical 30-second soundbite. It's a conversation on a different level. Live from the bunker. New episodes every month right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
I'm meteorologist Brian Busby. If you're traveling to a convention this weekend, especially if you're a cosplayer, it helps to know what the weather's going to be like. Rain and fur don't mix very well now, do they? That's why every week Sci-Fi for Me gives you the weather forecast for every city hosting a convention. Those we have on our list anyway. And that's worldwide, not just in the United States. It's part of our commitment to bring you content you won't find anywhere else. Just click on the conventions tab over at scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Jedi, Sith, Tauntauns, no matter which side of the Force you claim, we are your go-to holocron for all the latest Star Wars news, rumors, and innuendo. Imperial Intelligence has got nothing on us. We've got your salacious crumbs every other Sunday at 6 p.m. Central U.S. exclusively on Sci-Fi for Me TV.
SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse. And may the Force be with you.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at AtomicCotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
If you're into video games, be sure to download the 8-Bits podcast every fourth Tuesday of the month right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Rogues Gallery. Everybody's here because our stuff is working.
Yes.
Yeah, you just jinxed it, Jeff. Thanks a lot.
Now we're all going to go out and you're going to carry the podcast.
But I don't remember your names because of reasons, because of The Flash.
Yes. Okay. It's all Barry Allen's fault.
Don't blame Barry.
We'll blame...
No, it's not Barry. It's Bart.
Bart Allen
on the show.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, well, then I'll do the legwork for you here, Jeff. Joining us again from the bunker is me, Jen Wise. Hi. Will Tramp.
Hi.
Jason Hunt.
Really?
Okay. Hi.
Yeah, hi.
And from Milwaukee, Ann Lobbs.
Gotham fan here.
Gotham fan. And Jeff.
And me, Jeff Hackworth. Hi, everybody.
All right. So
the other Gotham fan.
Do we want to talk about The Flash then? Because I have some news.
It was more entertaining than Supergirl.
I literally always want to talk about The Flash.
All right. So The Flash, I just got an email today. Not even 20 minutes before we started recording this episode. From Cryptozoic Entertainment.
Well, those are the people who do the DC deck builder game.
Yeah. Yes.
Cryptozoic and Warner Brothers Consumer Products announced the release of The Flash Trading Cards Season 2.
Woo!
It says Cryptozoic Entertainment, leading creator of board games, trading cards, and collectibles, and Warner Brothers Consumer Products, today announced the May 24th release of The Flash Trading Card Season 2, based on the second season of the TV series. Features a 72-card base set, 3 chase sets, which I'm assuming is going to be sets that come after the base set gets released. Is that what it's called?
Okay. Chase sets.
Randomly inserted autograph, wardrobe, and prop cards, and a one-of-a-kind randomly inserted redemption card.
I'm going to spend so much money on this.
So the redemption card, I'm assuming, is like the golden ticket in the chocolate bar?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Okay. I'm catching up. And remember, I peaked at the Atari 2600.
Maybe a redemption ticket is a chance to go back in time and
save my mother?
Yeah. Your mother's alive.
My mother's fine.
Your mother's fine. Yeah, you did a good job.
Thank
you.
So that got announced today. 5 cards per pack, 24 packs per box, 72 cards featuring images from Season 2 episodes. Wait, what did I hit?
And now anytime you get angry at The Flash while you're watching it, you can play 72 card pickup to calm down.
There you go. There you go. Just... okay. So, was it last week? Week before. I don't remember. No, I don't remember. Well, maybe it was earlier this week. So, my son and I are watching The Flash. We're catching up because we had Planet Comic Con. We had the lightsaber thing. And all
it's catching been up. Busy.
And so, we're watching, I think it was not this week's episode, but last week or the week before. I don't know. And Future Barry says that Barry created time remnants. And James caught a piece in the line that said that most of them had been killed.
Mm.
And James looked at me and said, "Did you catch that? Most of the time remnants? There's a time remnant still out there.
At least one.
I bet he's Savitar." It could be okay, whatever. And it turns out, sure enough,
mm-hmm. James is the real MVP this week.
He catches the stuff. But can we please stop doing the time travel?
It's the Berlantiverse. What are you gonna do?
I feel like they recognized that The Flash, even though it's, you know, a fun character, it's certainly a character I've loved since I was a kid, it's maybe not as well known of a character in terms of like the layperson. So they were like, everybody knows Flashpoint Paradox, and they're just rolling with the time crap.
The thing about it is, though, in the comic books, and you know this, every major event, Crisis on Infinite Earths, moving forward, mm-hmm. all of them have centered around a Flash.
Yeah.
It's all been Barry's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Or Barry has been the one to save everything. You know, he sacrificed himself during Crisis. For the longest time, you talk about people recognizing the Flash, for a couple of different generations, Wally West is the Flash.
Wally West was my Flash.
He's my Flash.
Yeah.
And Barry who?
Yeah, I mean, I know Barry. I grudgingly accept Barry, but...
Yeah, but...
But I subscribe to the Church of Wally.
But he was the Flash. I mean, for people my age, Barry Allen was the Flash.
Yeah.
And for people, you know, older than me, it was Barry. You know, it's been Barry since 1956. So, you know, and there are pieces of Wally that was in Barry portrayed by John Wesley Shipp in that version, the 1991 show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole have to eat all the time type of thing. That's Wally.
Yeah.
And then in this one, we got New 52 Wally, as opposed to real Wally, and all of that. So there's this mishmash of things,
mm-hmm.
and you know Barry Allen's supposed to be blonde, and he's supposed to be a really smart CSI, and he's older. Of course, this is a CW show, so they all have to be young and pretty,
mm-hmm.
and angsty. I
feel
guess.
Like you could be pretty by being a little bit older
and wear heels. Except, you know, the women. Because it irritates the heck out of me that there are scientists who walk around in heels and pencil skirts.
Right, they should at least be walking around in wedges so that they're still getting full support of their feet.
Sneakers.
This is a dystopic future where heels are actually perfectly fine to wear and tennis shoes are actually the ridiculous things.
And they can run in those heels. I mean, God.
Again, Ann, I don't know what it's like in Milwaukee, but here in Kansas City.
I only wear heels and run.
Yeah, I mean, he ran up to the studio today. And,
yeah.
You know,
impressive.
And a pencil skirt. You guys are going to love the Instagrams tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So I think one of the problems, you know, Grant Gustin does a really good job with Barry.
Yeah, he does.
He's really good, but...
He also does a really good job of being CW pretty. Let's put that out there.
The whiny Barry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of whiny Barry.
Yep.
I'm tired of whiny Barry.
In this episode.
I know. This
was fun, Barry.
Yeah. And this is the Barry Allen from the comic books.
Yeah. This is the Barry Allen we deserve.
And if you had...
Well, he's the Bart Allen we deserve.
Well, we know that was a wink.
I know.
Because we're going to get Bart at some point.
Yeah.
But but the idea of Barry being this fun character, because that's... he's never been angsty.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't fit.
That's, I mean, yeah, no, no none CW of thing. None of the iterations of the Flash are really angsty ones.
I liked his line whenever Iris was like, "Hey, I just like you like this. How you're all happy and you don't have the weight of the world on your shoulders." And he goes, "What was I brooding?
Yeah,
dark.
Yeah. Oh, and that reminds me." When we get to it, when we talk about Supergirl, remind me of this, because dark and brooding came up in Supergirl, and I need to make a comment. All right, so I don't know. Is it a surprise that Time Remnant Barry is Savitar?
Not really.
I've called that it was Barry or the Reverse Flash since... I was like, it's Savitar's either Barry or the Reverse Flash.
Now, for people who don't know comics or aren't James, maybe.
By the way, guys, spoilers. We do talk about it.
I did drop the S word earlier in the episode. Right, so.
Well, and...
I mean, some of my students were still completely thrown by it. I do have, at the high school I teach at, some of my students are, you know, intensely interested in comics and stuff like that, and a lot of them watch the shows. And I walked into a discussion at one of the grad parties today that we had, and they were just sitting there arguing about whether or not Flash was done right and everything. And I was like, "Are you guys seriously talking about this?" And they're like, "Who could have seen that coming?" And I'm like, "Well, me for one."
Yeah.
Says he's the future Flash.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or the future comma Flash.
That's all about the Oxford comma.
Oh, that's what that meme was about.
Well, yeah. but the other thing too, though, is at some point it's like over on Arrow, first three seasons, every season finale the city was on fire.
Uh huh.
And over on the Flash, every season we're doing time travel to try to fix something that he broke with time travel.
Mm-hmm. We don't learn lessons.
Well, Barry, you're an idiot. The writers are making Barry an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to stop.
It's an arms escalation.
The show who does time travel and messing with time travel in a fun way is Legends of Tomorrow. And I've missed that wacky time travel shenanigans.
Yeah, when is that one coming back? That's not coming back probably until the fall,
yeah,
is it?
August, I
think.
Yeah,
is it? They had their season finale already.
Can't get enough of Brandon Routh in my life.
Although, will it become a fun show because it's part of the Berlantiverse? And I've noticed that these shows tend to fall into this pattern of being very angsty.
I think as long as we don't get some kind of romantic drama at the core of the show, I think it'll be okay. Because Legends of Tomorrow is an outlier. Compared to all of the other shows, Legend of Tomorrow is the one where they plant their tongues firmly in cheek and they go, okay, this is the one where we just go and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get away with that?
It's an action romp. Yeah. And it's just, you know, everything is up in the air and it's all crazy and it's fine. And it's a fun crazy as opposed to a weird, dumb crazy like Gotham.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch.
Like, hey, do you want to see them meet George Lucas? Okay, we can do that.
Yeah. It's these weird dudes like,
we can do that.
Ray Palmer with a dinosaur. Yeah, sure. Why not? You know, it's that kind
that
of
childhood dream. That dinosaur was horrible.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know. Well, they blew all their I say that. The effects budget didn't go very well with Super Nazi either, so. Every now and then. But see, on that show, it's okay because the whole thing is so
right,
cheesy B movie.
If you saw that kind of stuff on like Arrow, you'd be like, "What the hell?" Yeah. But no, on Legends of Tomorrow, fits.
Maybe get me back into Arrow.
Oh, really? That bad dinosaur?
Ugh.
Okay, we'll bring back
Arrow,
the dinosaur for
Arrow
him.
Arrow is a bad dinosaur at this point.
It's really. I'm sorry.
I never watch it, but I didn't watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. Batman, and then I just hear people dumping on it.
I actually started off in staunch support of Arrow because Will here got so angry when he heard that they were making an Arrow show that he threw something across the Radio Shack he was managing at the time.
I hate.
Oh, wow.
Hate Oliver Queen with every fiber
and,
of my being.
And I liked the first season a lot, and then the second season, I started throwing things across the Radio Shack that I'm kidding.
Second season was stupid.
Yeah. And I almost didn't go back to it. And it was like, that was its stutter step. And then I was enjoying it. And now I'm kind of starting to be like, oh, guys, slow your roll.
Season 3 was the best one out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then season 4 happened. And
it lost me.
Felicity still happens.
Yeah.
Or, well, season 5, this one lost me.
Yeah, this one, I'm struggling. This last episode, you know, the whole return of Felicity just is, you know, I'm wanting to throw things. But
you know,
can we still get into that Radio Shack?
Two comments reminded me of Dave. He was we were watching Supergirl,
uh-huh.
And he said, "Well, you know, the first season I watched this show because it was fun, and now I watch it because you have to watch it." And it's a chore.
Oh, burn.
Yeah, Supergirl is getting rough to watch too.
Did they change their creative team like massively when they switched from?
No, but they changed network executives.
Well, yeah,
and that was a big thing. Yeah. And I don't know if there's any kind of mandate from the suits,
mm-hmm.
as far as that goes, but. The introduction of Mon-El to the mix, the introduction of Maggie Sawyer,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the last two episodes have not been about Supergirl.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, we had, I don't know how many episodes have been after school specials this season. Maybe,
but nobody's taken caffeine pills yet. I mean.
Well, no, but we
have. I wanted to ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, I've enjoyed the episodes since Terry Hatcher came in. She's fun. She's a fun villain. Why didn't they have the first half of the season be Linda Carter, secret alien president, instead of the sisters' love lives of the, you know, Supergirl sisters?
I could say I could venture forth with a theory, but nobody would like it, and the Mary Sue would probably have a connection.
Well, okay, but that just, means that they'd be listening to us and talking like, about
that's
us.
That's assuming the Mary Sue pays attention to us.
That whole storyline was dropped, and I would much rather see something like that.
It actually hasn't, because when we got Linda Carter back, what was it, 3-4 episodes back, mm-hmm. when she was there, we actually got the reveal that she is a particular alien
type, yeah,
that is, and I can't remember the name of the species off the top of my head, but it is the same alien as one of the members of the Legion of Superheroes, which is a 31st century group, kind of like the Justice, like teenage Justice League in the 31st century. And Superman and Supergirl both have really strong connections to the Legion. And we've seen the Legion
and
ring.
Superboy.
And Superboy. But Superboy doesn't exist anymore.
That's right.
But Superman has, in his Fortress of Solitude, we've seen the Legion ring.
Mm-hmm.
And so there have been hints. And Chameleon Boy, I think, is his name, is the shapeshifter member of the Legion. And that's the same species, race, as Linda Carter's president. I don't know why they have not played with that storyline a little bit more.
Because, okay, so you remember that episode of Justice League Unlimited where they went forward in time and there were the Brainiacs and then Kara decided to stay because she was all, oh, everybody thinks I'm just Superman's cousin. I'm pretty sure they're doing this as an out, sort of like
It could be, but I also think that one of the reasons why they haven't pursued this very much more is because Linda Carter's schedule is probably such that she's doing more concerts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's doing the music thing more. She's also probably more expensive because she's Linda Carter. She's, you know, there's that history there.
Yeah, and hair flip, she's worth it.
Yeah. So I think that's part of it. Plus,
you would think she would at least come back now that there are thousands and thousands of alien ships.
Well, we are going to get Tyler Hoechlin back as Superman next week. And that's season finale.
Kevin Sorbo wrong, yeah. though.
I know. Well, just what was your problem?
So it was just
in like one or two episodes.
Who?
Kevin Sorbo. So you enjoyed him?
Oh. He did all right.
And then they killed him off.
I have like a personal thing against Kevin Sorbo. I mean, I guess not personal, like he stepped on my foot or something.
He never called
her
back. It's a long thing.
It's
the thing that I'm seeing here, and I'm hopeful. I'm gonna make a guess here. We probably can anticipate Linda Carter coming back for the season finale.
Yep, I think so.
Hoechlin will be back as Superman for the season finale. We know that. I think. I'm praying that I'm right, that the end of this episode, the season finale, is either going to be a big alien invasion occupying force around Earth, which is kind of dumb,
mm-hmm.
or Mon-El leaves.
Ooh, fingers crossed.
I really, 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 really hope that Mon-El leaves.
It was fun.
Or dies.
I must go now. My planet needs me.
Yeah. Oh, look at the time. This is not where I left my moon.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that this is a way to get Mon-El off the show. I don't think that's going to happen. But this show, well, and we've heard Calista Flockhart's going to be back for the season finale as well, so she'll be in.
What if he falls in love with Bizarro Supergirl and they run off together?
Goodbye!
Love it.
The whole Mon-El Supergirl thing is just so dumb.
That's why I bring up Bizarro Supergirl.
Because he's got no personality.
And go away.
Do you think it would be less dumb if we weren't watching both Mon-El and Supergirl and the other Danvers sister and Maggie Sawyer. I mean, it's been a whole season of love stories.
Yeah, the Alex Maggie thing has been in your face the entire semester.
No, that's supposed to be how I talk.
Yeah, the entire season it's been Alex Maggie, Alex Maggie, Alex Maggie, Alex Maggie. And you know, even
that episode focused on Alex.
I know. Yeah. And the whole thing was Supergirl Supergirl has to learn how to work with Alex's girlfriend. And that whole thing. Really? You guys are just really driving this into the ground. This is supposed to be a show about Supergirl.
I liked the big story picture about it. Like, hey, Supergirl can't just come in and interfere with police work all the time.
Yeah. But see, that's the other thing. That's what I'm saying is it's why it feels like one of these after-school specials thing. Because everybody's got to learn a lesson. And then at the end, they all say what kind of lesson they learned. Mm-hmm. Okay, class, what did we learn today?
Hey,
I learned that you
can't
punch
these things.
Yes.
How is Catco still making money if Jimmy Olsen is not doing a thing?
Well, he is doing a thing. We've actually had dialogue in the show where he's been complaining about the fact that he's having to be stuck there in the office running things. And because there was a scene, I think there was a scene between him and Snapper Carr. And I got to say, Ian Gomez is probably the only good thing about this show this season. I really do like his Snapper Carr.
Snapper Carr's, yeah.
It's fun.
I think, what is the first time we saw Snapper Carr as kids? Probably would have been the first season of Justice League.
Yeah.
The animated one.
Being much younger then.
Right. But no, I just remember thinking, like, every superhero should have that really annoying dig into everything sort of.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, this speaking of which, we talk about Jimmy Olsen,
James Olsen,
the Guardian, and you can tell they're doing the whole Batman analog with it.
Yeah,
but they even make the gag, you know, when he's there and he says, "I don't want to be scaring people. I don't want to be, you know, I'm supposed to be the hero. You know, heroes are supposed to inspire people. Superman and Supergirl and so, and you know, we're not supposed to be scary heroes." And Wynn's like, well, what about Superman's friend? And he does the little points his fingers up. He's like, I know he's talking about Batman exists in this universe, and I'm so happy about that. We'll never see him, but that's two references now to Batman,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of different ones mentioned in Gotham City. Mm-hmm. So Batman is real on Earth 38.
No, but you know, after school specials can still be fun to watch if they also remember to entertain you.
Yeah,
they're not.
This hasn't
though.
Happened to me this season with Supergirl or The Flash very much.
So, I mean, I
have a weird question.
Okay.
So, and forgive me for this. I've just started watching Supergirl on Netflix because that's how I get my television half the time. 90% of the time, all of the time. Okay, so is it just me, or is number one, is everybody still an orphan? Like, everybody's an orphan. Like, nobody has parents.
They're all half-elves.
They all are orphans. Like, mm-hmm. all these kids get together, and they all have, like, for some reason, all of their parents are gone. And I didn't realize how many millennia.
Wynn's father is in prison.
Yeah. Which is effectively orphan.
Right. Alex is, you know, her parents, Danvers are both still alive.
No, but, and so, like, here's what keeps getting me about that, actually, and this is where I was kind of going with this. Kara, at least in the first season, that girl makes the biggest point to say, foster mom. Well, not actually my parents. I'm like, I'm adopted myself, and every time I see that, I go, no kinship ever. Like, you can fully accept you two are sisters, but when it comes to the mom and dad, it's like, well, excuse me, let me. It reminds me of the Royal Tenenbaums. It's like, this is my adopted daughter, Margot.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
They're not kind here in the show.
Their mom is fine, Their dad's the crazy one.
Well, yeah, spoilers, though, because Will hasn't gotten there yet.
Oh, it's okay. I mean, not...
Well,
spoilers, I'm going to Wikipedia the crud out of this anyway, so I spoil everything for myself.
The thing that gets me, and we had this discussion about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the first season, where it feels like the writers don't quite know what to do with these characters.
Yeah.
And the shift from CBS to CW, I think on the one hand, it's good because you get more continuity between all of the shows. Mm-hmm. And next year we get Black Lightning. There will be even more so because I expect that because mm-hmm. Black Lightning got a series order.
Yep.
So it's probably going to be something they can cross over into everything. We don't know which universe, if it's going to be on Earth 38 or Earth 1 or Earth 2 or Earth 3 or wherever, but we are getting Black Lightning, which is going to be fun.
He's getting his owner.
Black Lightning it's was going Aquaman's to be idea, and I was like, I'm going to call you Whitefish.
Anything that to reinvigorate us after the beatdown of some of these other shows?
I don't know.
Black Lightning's going to be fun, guys.
It is.
It is.
It's going to be fun. But see... Supergirl, first season,
was fun.
Flash, first season,
was fun.
Fun!
Arrow, first season, not
really
so much.
Depressing. I got PTSD almost, by proxy.
Was almost Batman.
Well, and Will, you made a comment earlier about not liking Oliver Queen. I'm still waiting for the real Oliver Queen to show up.
Basically Batman because they didn't do Batman.
I don't like Oliver. I don't like Oliver Queen in the comics. I mean, just to throw this out there real fast. I mean, he's DC's own knockoff of their own character. He's got the Arrow cave. He's super rich. He's Batman, but he has a liberal bent. But that stated, as much as I don't like Oliver Queen, if you're going to make a show about him, mm-hmm. at least be true to this character that I hate.
Yeah, make him Oliver Queen.
What we should have gotten
with the goatee.
The goatee.
The Van Dyke goatee. Yes, that needed to be there. The liberal hippie bent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now he didn't start out that way, but when
him and Green Lantern team up.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you get the Neil Adams, Denny O'Neill run in the late 70s, early 80s, when they started doing the social commentary. Mm-hmm. And you've got, you know, conservative, right-leaning super cop Hal Jordan and liberal, pinko, commie, hippie Oliver Queen. You know, that dichotomy between the two. And, of course, you got Black Canary caught in the middle. It's just like, guys, come on, get along.
I'm trying to imagine what that show would look like in this political climate.
I would love to see that show.
I would watch it.
But even if you take
the O'Neill Adams run and adapt it and just tell those stories. Mm-hmm.
Let's have that be next season of Arrow.
Yeah. Well, wait. Oh,
let's
so
have
let's
him
start
not be mayor anymore.
Let's start dreamcasting our Hal Jordans right now.
Will,
you can be Hal Jordan.
Yes.
I'm angsty and young.
Who plays Rocket?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. Yeah, well, Bradley Cooper plays all of them.
Yeah.
So Bradley Cooper can play Hal Jordan.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I'm surprisingly comfortable with this.
Michael Rosenbaum. He deserves a chance to come back
with hair this time.
Yeah.
Who would you have? Because Hal Jordan exists.
Nathan Fillion, because we always want him back for everything.
Well,
as long as he doesn't have a hammer.
Too old now.
That's
though.
True. But David Boreanaz also too old. I still keep imagining him from Angel.
I don't know who's out there now that could be that because, well, see, the thing, but it is, though.
Oh, Chris Pine.
Chris Pine's busy.
That's true.
You don't get Oliver
Chris
Queen.
Steve Trevor.
Yeah, but you don't get the left-leaning hippie Oliver Queen, so the juxtaposition up against Hal Jordan wouldn't work.
That's true, yeah.
Because essentially right now, John Diggle is the Hal Jordan analog.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah,
it kind of works, but I don't
know. Okay, Diggle and Oliver Queen go on a road trip, and it's basically the Green Lantern, Green Arrow run.
Every summer they trade off a pair of jeans.
That would not be a bad thing. First of all, the first thing that Arrow has to do in order to recover is get rid of Felicity Smoke.
Yes.
As much as I like Emily Bett Rickards, and I don't have any problem with her performance, but the character needs to go away.
You know,
just
I would even accept
Central City.
I would even accept more brooding for like half a season if they just kill her.
Well, I vote move her to Central City.
No,
if
I know because then
if
because
Caitlin's
then people
going Killer Frost. That leaves room for Felicity to step in.
Well, although we got some hints that Caitlin could recover, because
that's true.
You know, love's true love's kiss, right?
Oh, the answer is
yeah.
love.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
All the answer is always
all
the
you need is love.
Love. Yeah.
Love
yeah.
is all
even
you need.
Even if it's with a Malfoy.
Yes. Yes.
First of all, Jeff, how do you do love? Because if my love doesn't involve a Malfoy, I don't even see it as love.
Again, we're going to talk about how we do things in Kansas City.
Getting married at the Hall of Justice.
That's true.
Right. So nice. I don't know. I just think that the show got hijacked by Felicity.
Oh mm-hmm. yeah, no, absolutely.
From the very beginning, mm-hmm. and everybody was like, "Oh, Felicity!" It was well, so
from
good.
The start, it was like, "Oh, that's refreshing. She's actually a pretty cool character. Oh, she's not going to be a love interest. Oh,
now that's all she is.
Yeah, and then she took over.
Yeah,
and we've lost now two Black Canaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the first one was trash anyway.
She was a better Black Canary than the real Black Canary.
Yeah,
for the most part. Now the one that we've got now. Who doesn't think that she's going to be Black Canary, but, you know, she's going to be Black Canary because she is.
Mm-hmm.
Her name, oddly enough, I don't know if you've seen, and we're getting into spoiler stuff for episodes from way back. So,
more hashtag spoilers.
This is a cop who was exposed to that she was in Central City at the time that Star Labs blew up. And so she's now got the metahuman gene for
awesome.
The Canary Cry.
Sweet. We're going to get a real Black Canary.
We're not talking the blonde cop from Flash. We're not talking the blonde girl
no,
from
no,
Flash,
no, no.
are we?
No, okay. no, not her. But that would have been that
yeah,
would have been
I would,
that would have been a really good cross.
Yeah, but not her. But she was undercover cop. And the name that she uses all the time is actually turns out not her real name. Her real name is Dinah Drake.
Nice!
Yeah, exactly the same name as Riversong,
mm-hmm.
Who's the mother of Dinah Lance. I mean, the whole thing has gotten yeah. so stupid convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Or as Oliver would like to say, it's complicated.
Now we can watch Oliver fall in love with the future child of this.
It's yeah. weird. It's
then,
more
yeah.
time travel.
Oh, yeah. Hey, there you go. Barry will fix it. And then,
yeah,
and then we'll go to
probably
Crisis
Barry's
on Infinite
fault.
Earth.
Barry will fix it in time travel. Yes. We'll fix it in post. Right?
We'll edit that out.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. As long as the city doesn't burn at the end of the season, I guess it's a win.
We'll give it
Jason,
one more time.
It's going to.
Well, it didn't last year.
I know, but it's
and didn't it feel sort of unsatisfying?
Well,
it's an annual tradition, isn't it?
Given the city burning,
given the fact
right,
that
guys, the lighting of the skyscrapers,
yeah, given the fact that this season has tried to do a lot of callbacks to the first season,
mm-hmm.
I fully expect that the city will burn at the end of the season.
Yeah,
and we'll get one
or
more
a giant
season.
Earthquake machine,
or both.
Yeah.
Or and both, yeah.
The giant earthquake machine will set on will get caught on fire, and and then it'll spread to the rest of the city.
But
that's right.
The fire will be put out because of love.
I think next season, I'm going to make a prediction now. I'm calling it next season is going to be the last season for Arrow.
Well, then I hope they make it a good one.
Maybe.
Bring
well,
Huntress
you said
back.
This season was going to be the last of Gotham, but look how that turned out.
Well, that's because yeah. we didn't put Thomas on reviews.
I know. That we're going to fix that post-haste.
Oh, golly.
You're off it, Anne.
Yeah. So, anyway. All right.
Gotham can survive this, I am sure.
We're just going to start calling him Hurricane Townley.
There we go. We'll get him a shirt.
A cyborg we'll give him a shirt.
Ooh, cyborg Fish Mooney. Yes!
Oh, God, no.
And that shirt will get a Hurricane Townley.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, Townley NATO. And we'll get a shirt that's a tornado. And we'll put his face on all the different charts. I got
to
do that.
This
now.
Is a thing. We're going to make him wear it to events and stuff.
I just like to imagine that we go back in time with Barry, apparently, to his very first review. Mm-hmm. And he was just like watching Firefly. And he's like, this show is really good. And then the universe heard it and went, done. And he just never, that just began the spiral slowly but surely.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. If you've got theories about what you think is going to happen next on all of these, Gotham next season and Arrow and any kind of reaction or response to what's been going on this season. The other thing, too, we're kind of doing an informal little listener poll. If you would like for us to continue this podcast past the season finales, talking about all the DC stuff, send us an email, roguesgallery@sci-fi-for-me.com. Or leave us a comment on any of our social media. The main ones we check pretty much regularly are Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, all the usual suspects. And I guess, Jeff, that's all I've got. What have you got left?
If you do the poll, please help us do a Wonder Woman episode.
Okay.
Where we talk about the movie.
We can do that.
We are also going to be doing late this summer, near fall, we're going to be doing a Sci-Fi for Chicks that's going to talk more about Wonder Woman. We're probably going to be doing it as a special in the middle of the month episode instead of our monthly.
Okay.
So, Jeff,
kind of like Ghostbusters.
Like we did with Ghostbusters. So hopefully more positive this time.
And the other thing, too, we do want you to check out all of the video that we've been posting for Planet Comic Con over on our YouTube channel. And just a reminder, we have been invited to come out to live stream from Dragon Con in Atlanta Labor Day weekend. So we have a Patreon account if you would like to pledge your support, kind of help us out with that. Patreon.com/sci-fi for me. I guess I lied. That's all I've got.
So. And, we have all the social medias, the Facebooks, the Twitters, the Tumblrs, the Instagrams. Well, I don't have the Instagrams, but the show does, or the site does.
And the Twitch. The Twitch will be seeing some D&D action in the next
few
months.
We have the Twitch that's up.
Mm-hmm.
We have the YouTube videos. Of course, we have the website. We
Pinterest.
Have our sister website, Horror For Me.
We've got so many ways for you guys to get in touch with us.
The only way we don't have is two tin cans and a string, I think.
But that's because we're...
I've got one of those downstairs.
We're sure. Waiting on the funding to come through for the second tin
can. I'm sure people are talking about us on MySpace somewhere.
I was about to say my Zanga is blowing up ever since I joined this.
We are not on Snapchat yet.
But when we are,
I don't anticipate being on Snapchat.
When we are, oh well. Fun fact: hashtag don't tell the boss. Jen is on Snapchat, and Jen will totally create a sci-fi for me Snapchat, and Jen will put cats in capes.
Jeff is also on the Snapchat.
All right. Well, hey guys, thanks for listening to all of us today. Our insane ramblings and conspiracy theories.
Yes.
And if you have a comment, leave it. At roguesgallery@sci-fi-for-me.com. Do we still have the telephone number?
Well, it's still active, but we don't use it very much.
We don't talk
okay,
on telephones.
So don't call us.
We'll call you.
There's
a song in there somewhere.
I'm Jeff Hackworth. In Kansas City, we have Jason Hunt.
Yep, that's me.
And Jennifer Wise.
Adios.
And Will Tramp.
Hello. Oh, yes. Goodbye. Dang it.
And
you had one job.
Dang it.
And last but not least, Ann Labs. Take
did
us
I,
out.
Yo, did I mention Exorcist got renewed too?
You did.
Yes.
I did. Okay.
Okay.
All right. That'll do it for episode 54 of the Rogues Gallery.
Bye, guys.
This has been a presentation of Sci-Fi for Me Radio. Copyright 2017. By Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.